Hello, and welcome to the Sunshine Sound Podcast with your host, Christine Mathias.
But now I create from joy, because, like, joy is long-lasting and the excitement is this quick thing, you know? I was living out of excitement, where it's like, up, 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 break. And now, with medication, I'm operating out of joy, so I can really dig into my creativity and, you know, it does ebb and flow in a different way, but I think it's possible to be on medication and be able to create.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 8 of the Sunshine Sound Podcast. In this one, I interview another musician that I met through the San Diego Rock and Roll Camp for Girls, Veronica May. Veronica is an incredibly accomplished musician, and I've seen her talents really shine on drums, on piano, on guitar, and she has this spectacular voice, super talented. And she's been able to create a professional life based on music with a background as a music therapist, and she now focuses on touring and teaching. She sometimes performs solo, but she also performs with a full rock band, and she's collaborated with some of the best musicians in San Diego. And Veronica, she also lives with bipolar 1 disorder, which she is very open about, and she educates the public about it through talks and also on her bipolar biweekly blog on her website. So those trials and triumphs of her experience really come through in everything that she creates, and you'll see exactly what I mean when we get a chance to listen to a couple of her tracks. So we talk about all of that in today's interview, and I certainly learned a lot more about what it's like to have bipolar, but I also learned about the challenges that all musicians face in building a life around music. It's the kind of mixed feelings that we have on marketing and learning how to create from a place of joy. I hope you like this one. Okay, so today in the studio, I have Veronica May. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It's a hot day, but life is good. I can't complain. I mean, there are places where there is snow, so.
That's true.
I'm not going to complain.
I know. It's pretty beautiful today. Yeah. So you are one of the more busy musicians that I know. Like, you've had a ton of shows recently. It's like, what's... Is that how you like to be? Do you like to keep a full calendar?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because it's been super full. And as of the 19th, as of like April 19th, everything just kind of stopped. So now I have this space where I need to write choir parts for these songs that I just recorded. And just practicing some blues, just trying to get some blues licks under my belt and blues standards under my belt. So right now I'm just kind of in this waiting period, which is really nice because it has been a little bit crazy lately.
Yeah.
It's been good, though. I mean, it's always good.
Yeah. So what are the choir pieces for the new songs?
So I just recorded 20 songs, and they're going to be released this year. I'm going to release some as singles and some on a compilation. And I got the San Diego Women's Chorus to sing on my album. So I'm arranging choir parts right now for 3 of the songs.
Wow. So what is that process like? Do you actually write out the songs? Like, you're an experienced musician, but you're like the kind of musician that actually like reads music and writes out parts. Uh-huh.
Cool. Yeah, I was lucky enough to, I feel like that's one of my fortes. I was a glee club director 1 year at Claremont High School. I mean, I was playing piano since I was 3. And then I took this great ear training, like music theory class for 4 years in college that just totally changed the game for me. So I can just, you know, write choir parts in the comfort of my home and just kind of create whatever I want, you know, mm-hmm. with that skill. It's a good skill to have.
Yeah. It seems like you're always doing something musically, like creating or working on blues licks or playing shows. Is that how you...
Yes. Yeah. That's how I operate. Yeah. And that's what I do for a living, too. I give lessons. So it's every part of my life is sustained through music, which is what I always wanted. Mm. You know, that's all you can ask.
Yeah. How long has it been like that you've been able to sustain a life through music?
So I did music therapy for 11 years, and I just stepped away from that about a year and a half ago. So my whole professional career has been music. I've never done anything, like, after college that wasn't music-related.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is it about music? Why do you Why is your life centered around it?
I think it's the one thing I can relate to at all times. And also, I like to talk about it at podcasts or interviews or whatever it is. For me, I'm a big mental health advocate with having bipolar 1. I educate on it anywhere I'm at, and I write about it in my songs, and it really, I can see it's how it does so much good in the community. People will message me saying, like, I heard this song, I could really relate, or whatever it is. So for me, I feel like music is my purpose, and there's not anything else I'm really passionate about except for music. I'm just super passionate about music.
Yeah. I mean, it's great that you found the thing that really drives you. It's not, I don't think everyone has that.
I know. I was thinking that it's a shame that not everybody either has a passion or has found their passion. And I feel so grateful that this is something I've known for so long, that this is what I want to do with my life.
Yeah. And what do you think gets you through? Veronica, your phone.
My phone
is
went off. It's my sister. Okay.
Because music can be challenging and can be stressful, and as someone who's, it sounds like you're self-employed.
I work at a foster school doing drum, piano, guitar, vocal lessons. I don't like to do vocal lessons because that's not my main thing, but I'll do voice here and there. But I've been working at that school for 8 years. So I get a steady income in that. And my private lessons are pretty steady. And then the nice thing is I don't have to rely on shows. So I don't know if I want to get to that point where I want to just full-time tour and do all that or not. It's nice to just be able to get, like, take what I want, you know, and not be like, I got to take this gig.
Right. So that's where you're at right now.
Yeah.
You can be a little more selective.
Yeah.
And so did you have a residency at the office?
I saw
you had a bunch of shows there.
Yeah. Really every cool. First Monday. Next Monday will be our last Monday. I think it's going to be our last Monday. Just some things with the venue that kind of didn't follow through. So, I mean, it's no hard feelings. I still love the venue, but I think we're going to kind of step away from that residency and try to get more like when national acts come into town, pretty much anything everybody's trying to do to get to the next level.
Yeah.
We're trying to get to that space. You know, I've been doing this for so many years and it's time to kind of up the ante a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. And so how has your experience with music changed over the years? Someone who's done it for so long.
Not in some ways things haven't really changed. And I'm just kind of doing what I'm doing. There's the really hard gigs and there's the really great gigs, and they kind of even themselves out. It's like that moment where you think, man, how can I continue to be like the social media, the marketing, the publish, like doing everything, trying to shop around for licensing and feeling like, man, when is somebody going to step in and like really believe in what I do? But then you get those moments, like I said, where you get somebody after a show that says something like, my son just committed suicide and we want to do a fundraiser. Can you help us out? Can you give us resources? Yeah. And so it's like when I start having that pity party for myself of I promoted so hard and nobody's here, I have to remember that what I'm doing, people hold on to. So I feel like that's when I can kind of settle into, you know, like, okay, this is the right path, even though sometimes it doesn't always feel that way.
Yeah, like it's tied to something bigger than you. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And so when you're playing with a full band, is that typically what you do now, or what does your live act usually look like?
So for me, the gigs that just come in are my solo gigs because I've been doing that for 15 years. And then the band has been in and out. I was in a duo for 6 years called the Lovebirds. It was a folk duo. And so I'm just getting back into my Veronica May and the band. That's what I love to do the most, but I don't get as many gigs for the band. Our next one is June 16th at the Casbah. It's a Saturday. Cool. So, I mean, there's that one coming up, but we don't have a ton of stuff going on with the band. Although we're going to tour in September.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you going, like, all over?
Up the West Coast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I spread everything out for a reason, you know, not just... It's like I can get a taste of everything. Mm-hmm. I love the band. I love the solo. I love writing choir parts. I love teaching. So it's just kind of all spread out right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of the great thing about music. There's so many things to pursue. Yeah. Because there's kind of the stuff that I feel like to be a musician, you kind of have to be almost like an introvert and an extrovert in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is you need to spend a lot of time alone kind of learning things and processing things. And yeah. So do you feel like out of all those aspects, like what your favorite part is?
Oh man. What's my favorite part? I think it's I'm lucky in that I'm not like, I have to be on stage to be happy, or I have to be writing to be happy. Like, I feel like it's a little bit of both. I love to be by myself writing a song, and I love to just be on stage and really perform a song. And I love to be in the studio, so I just love it all in different for different reasons. If there was one thing that I had to do the rest of my life, yeah, I don't think I could pick.
Sure.
It's all those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all feed me in a different way.
Yeah, I understand that. And how do you feel? What about the marketing piece? You're great at it, though.
You like, think so? Oh,
I mean, you're glad to hear that. Consistent, which I think is so much more important than anything else.
Yeah.
I think because it's easy with the marketing, especially as a creative person, and it just, like, I don't know, I have the steam to work on it for a little bit, and then I ignore my social media, but yeah.
I appreciate that. I feel like the one thing I've started going live more on, like, Facebook just for fun, but I do Manic Mondays where I have somebody choose a song, and then I put in a different style every Monday.
Nice.
But I could definitely do more. And I need to kind of shift my perspective and realize social media is an avenue to reach people instead of being like, ugh, I have to post this stupid Instagram photo that I don't care about, you know, whatever it is, whatever attitude I have in the moment. It really does. I mean, if you utilize it, if you use it in the right ways, then you can get a lot from it, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's a good way to connect with people in a way, but it's also just hard as it's like, it's just like the highlights of people's lives, and sometimes it can feel inauthentic.
Yeah.
And in a way, it's kind of hard to balance with music where you feel like you can just be open and vulnerable. Like, sometimes marketing feels less vulnerable, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see that. And I try to thread that vulnerability piece into things when I can, but it's so true. I mean, sometimes if I'm really pushing a show, you do feel gross being like, yeah, well, like I did, June 16th, telling you about my gigs and promoting, and that part feels dirty even though it's not, even though you're just trying to be like, hey, listen to what I'm doing. Yeah, but it can feel like that, the marketing piece.
Yeah, definitely. But then I also have to keep in mind that, like, every popular musician that I've ever, like, learned about and loved, it's because they went through all that marketing so I could discover them, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I talked to a lot of musicians that say the same thing of, you know, kind of getting burned out. There's just some moments where, as wonderful as it is to be a musician and it is, there's just moments, you know, where you just kind of want to give up. But my mom, she told me once, she's got the best advice. She was like, well, if you don't play, you're never going to win. She's like, just every time you feel like you need to step away, just tell yourself, okay, well, the moment I stop playing, there's just no way I can win, whatever that means. So that kind of keeps me going in those moments. But
yeah,
overall, I get to write music and play for a living. It's it's incredible.
Right?
It's pretty great.
Take a step back and appreciate what you got.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Yeah. So you sent me a couple of really beautiful tracks. So the first one that I wanted to play is called Rise. Just so cool. It's such a rocking track. I really love this one. So let's take a quick break and play that.
Wondering how many people out there really care, really know it means to love. When I think about the state of our nation, vibrations of hate rattle through my bones. Why, oh why? Why, oh why? Thought by now we'd have a basic knowledge, shady politics, dirty done deeds. The ideas that they breed are based on greed and not on need. Scarily, I'm not surprised, not surprised. Will there be a time in our time when yours is mine and mine is yours? Do doing our best. No one is less. Together we are more. If we try, if we try. The only way to really see change is to be changed. Testify to the world. We're all caving in. We can't seem to win, but still we must rise. We must rise. We must rise. We must.
We're back. I really like that track, and it's so powerful. Obviously, recorded with the full band. I love how the drums come in, and it's just the power behind that song is really cool. And definitely has a political bent to it.
Like, yes.
Do you write a lot of political music generally, or was that just something that had to come out of you?
That was something that just came out right after everything went down. I was like, okay, I gotta write something.
Sure, understandable.
But it didn't come out in that way. The whole first part before the band kicks in is a loop. And I usually do it live like that. I loop all the pieces. And then what happens is it just dies down. That band section's not there. And I presented it to my producer, Jeff Berkeley. And he was like, I want to make this much bigger than it is. So I was so glad that he got his hands on it and kind of shaped it into that direction, you know. And then the videographer, I didn't know she was going to put in march footage and stuff. And when I got it back, it made it so much more powerful, the way that she kind of stitched it together. You know, it said something bigger.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so where did you record that?
I recorded that in San Luis Obispo. So one of my friends, she's with the ballet company up there. And so she pulled together her favorite dancers in town and choreographed the whole thing.
Awesome. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. And you said you had a producer. I've never worked with like a producer on anything. Like what is that process like?
Oh, it's so great. I've been with Jeff for probably 8 years now. We've done 4 albums together, about to be 5 albums together. And he's just so great. He's also my guitarist, but okay. That came along much later. When I started doing some band stuff again, but he's just really sensitive, just like I am. And we know when to step away from each other and be like, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. And like every relationship where you have to communicate, there's like that half second. And it just seems to get shorter and shorter over time where he'll be like, I really think we should go this direction. And so I'll say, okay. And then the opposite will happen where I'm like, I can't do that. And we just communicate so well. And I think that's the biggest piece. And his taste is my taste. So when he does something, I don't know, he's just like a very tasteful player, producer, and really cares about what he's doing.
So like, what's the difference between having like a co-writer on a song versus a producer?
I think the producer, in my opinion, I guess, I have the entire song there, and then we'll talk, and he includes me in the whole process, which I appreciate. Not every producer does that. Where he'll say, all right, well, do you hear strings on this? You want the Euphoria Brass Band? Do you want me to bring in Ben Moore on keys? Like, whatever it is, he has all these connections to people. And then either I'll write the part for them and then they just play it, or they'll just come in and they'll just play something. So it can go one of two ways. With the choir parts and all the harmonies that are on the albums and all the piano parts, those are all me. And because that's where my strength lies. But I'll tell Berkeley, I'm like, if you want to put one of your guitar solos on there, I'm sure you'll do it justice more than, you know, I can imagine. And he does. So yeah, it's nice having somebody who's really in your corner and really batting for what you want.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. And so I'm just curious if you can talk about this, like do you pay for a producer? Like what does that that look like? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You pay for a producer and then somebody else masters it. So I pay for that too. It's, Mark Robinson is my, he does my masters. He goes by Rob, but they're both just like, they really care about the project and they'll go and spend a ton of time on these things and just watching them work together. And just, it's so great, especially like also with my band, to think that they're doing this because they want to be doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not sitting there being like, well, I charge $150 a gig. You know, they're in it with me and you know, not all the gigs are the best, but they're in it with me because they see a bigger picture.
Yeah.
So it's really great to have a bunch of guys in my corner in that way.
Yeah. I think that's a common theme with music, or at least I hope it is.
Yeah.
Especially at this, you know, at a more local level, that the people are doing it, love doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So. So what, what do you think your, like, future goals are with music?
I think for me, just continuing to release music, continuing to release content. I'd like to get things, you know, published. I'd like to get a license to TV or commercial or whatever like that. That would be great to just send something out and have something come back like that where I don't have to do any work on it, but it just turns on itself.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm going to start giving more talks again. I kind of go back and forth where I did a keynote speech last year, and I'll do talks at schools about mental illness, and I'll perform the songs during my talks. So I kind of want to, I think, steer the ship back to doing a little bit more of that too. Maybe some tours here and there, but just continuing to create.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to get the better gigs, trying to get the festivals and doing all the things that everybody else is doing, you know, while maintaining all that, you know.
Sure. Yeah. And so in your talks, what's the content of those? What message are you trying to get across?
Sure. So these schools, they'll approach me and say, can you give a talk on resilience? So then I'll develop a whole talk about resilience, and it's all centered around the fact that I have bipolar 1 disorder. So that's like one of the talks was smashing stigma of bipolar disorder and just educating on the differences between one and two. And so it just depends on what the school wants me to talk about. But I always perform during it. Mm-hmm. And I'll give the kids lyric sheets and I'll tell them, like, circle something that really spoke to you. And then we'll start a dialogue, you know, with the kids mm-hmm. in that way, like through the music.
Sure. Yeah. So what is the difference between bipolar 1 and 2?
So I have bipolar 1. Bipolar 1 is usually the manias, which people think mania is like fun and exciting and you're happy and you're... But it can also mean that you, like for me, bought 3 guitars and a guitar amp. And, you know, some people will buy the same book, like 30 of the same book. So shopping sprees, hallucinations. So bipolar 1 is accompanied with psychosis. So I'll have like paranoia, mild hallucinations, delusions of grandeur, thinking I'm God, thinking I'm Michael Jackson, like whoever it is. So for me, that's where I go. I've had 3 full breaks, and then I've had, I think, 4 almost breaks in the past 10 years. And then bipolar 2 is usually the lows, the depressions. So they can go into mania, and some even get hospitalized and might even have some hallucinations, but it's usually less of that and more of like depression.
I see, yeah,
but they both are accompanied by highs and lows. I've had a couple depressions, but
yeah,
and bipolar 1 is more extreme.
I think it's great that you're so open with that. I think it's
you have to be.
I think especially in this country, like, mental illness is so stigmatized and kind of kept secret.
It is, and it's crazy, like, the amount of people that will talk to me after shows in confidence, being like, not a lot of people know this, but like, I'm really anxious and have depression and, you know, whatever it is. And then they have to kind of pull me aside in private. I'm like, man, we should be able to just talk about this and be like, yes, I'm on medication and I need to be, and it works. So why wouldn't I be? You know, I feel like that's something I get sometimes from some certain communities or certain people. They'll say, you know, well, I was ... but I got off my medications and I'm able to function. And that's great for them. But for me, and I know for my life and at the severity of this illness that I have, medication is the reason I can sit here and talk to you. And it's the reason I can hold a job.
Sure.
You know, so.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think that having music as an outlet helps with your mental illness?
Yes. And it's the reason I am so good at what I do.
Yeah.
Like, it's because of the bipolar.
Hmm.
It's like there's a creativity and there's a rawness that I wouldn't have had I not had this. I mean, I've just by experiencing things that aren't real and experiencing really extreme emotions, I can pull from that creatively, you know? And so I owe it to the bipolar.
Yeah. Yeah. Our minds are a fascinating place.
Yeah, totally.
Right. Yeah, just because, you know, in spending time with you and volunteering at camp and everything, I mean, you definitely have like a lightness and like a good sense of humor and everything.
Thank you.
And yeah, so, and it's something that I've noticed in a lot of people who, you know, struggle in other areas of their life, is they have to have that balance. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything else in your life that you do to kind of create that balance, or other things that you maybe in some ways are grateful for what you've gone through with your mental illness?
Other ways that I balance it, you say?
Yeah.
I mean, music is the biggest way that I balance myself. Yeah, I would say, and also not overcommitting, making sure if I go to bed late that I get 8 hours, you know. And I have to say, the biggest thing is being consistent with your meds. And there are times where I'll just not be consistent. And it's not something I like to admit, where I'll be consistent for 6 or 7 years. And then I'll skip meds here and there. And then I start seeing the repercussions. I start having, like, I'll be at 7-Eleven. I think people are plotting to kill me or wanting to poison my food. And so it'll just creep in, just, you know, not being consistent. So for me, consistency of medication and sleep, therapy regularly, and music.
Yeah.
Those are the ways for me.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, as I think that in a lot of ways, anyone can benefit from all those things to a certain degree. So it's almost like when you have these things in your life, it makes it so you kind of have to work on all areas of your life, you know?
Yeah, it's true. And I recently, I'm almost always in the camp of, I'm glad I have it, because I wouldn't be who I was if I didn't. But I'm on this, well, it's relatively new medication. I've been on it for about a year, and it is a new medication called Vraylar. And they had to change me because I started getting hypomanic, which is like right below mania, hypermania. And I feel like I don't even have mental illness anymore. Hmm. It's very bizarre. Yeah. To live kind of in that normalcy. But I had a moment recently where I was like, I don't want to have this. And it's another thing I don't like to admit, being a mental health advocate. I want to be like, you too can do this, and it's great to have all the time. But with bipolar one, episodes are inevitable. So it's like probably in 3 to 4 years, I'll be in the hospital again. And there are moments where I'm like, man, I don't want this anymore. Mm. Like, I just want to break from it, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, overall, it's good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm someone, I've dealt with depression over the years, and I've always been reluctant to take medication for it, as I've been concerned about how it might affect my creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you were ever worried about, or have you experienced that at all?
I was worried about it, but it didn't, like maybe the periods are a little bit different now of that I create, but now I create from joy, because like joy is long lasting and the excitement is this quick thing, you know? I was living out of excitement where it's like up, 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 break, up, 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 break. And now with medication, I'm operating out of joy, so I can really dig into my creativity, and you know, it does ebb and flow in a different way, but I think it's possible to be on medication and be able to create. And I've probably had like 20 different med changes, like tweaks here and there in the last 10 years. But I can say that I'm on a medication now that I don't even know I'm on.
Mm.
Like I don't even notice it.
Sure. Yeah. I think that sometimes we can kind of romanticize, you know, mental illness and feel like, you know, we want to be like this suffering artist, and you know,
yeah. And people seek that out. Mm-hmm. I've sought that out in the past. Like, if I was feeling like, man, I haven't created for a while, I wanted to stop taking my meds because I knew it would make me feel up for just a minute. But the thing is, like I said, up does not mean good. Like, up doesn't mean happy. Right. Up can mean a bunch of different things.
Mm.
Up can mean, you know, like where the wolves come out at night. Like, that's what it feels like.
Mm.
So it's kind of like playing with fire, right, a little bit.
Well, I'm glad that you're feeling more even keeled and you're creating. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I would
love to play another one of your songs.
Totally.
This one is let me make sure. There is Hope. This
yes.
is another beautiful one. All right, let's take a quick break.
There were times when nothingness swallowed me whole. There were times when my plate was too full and I dropped it. Everything shattered and scattered. Times when I was riding high, there were times like an arrow I'd fly till I dropped, like a shooting star right out of the sky. But I remembered there is hope. In the emptiest hole, there is hope. When there's nowhere to go, there is hope. There is hope. When you've lost everything, there is hope. When the demons cling, there is hope. times when I feel a break is near, yet I stand like a skyscraper stands tall beneath the sky. There are times when my mind races like a hungry pack of wolves. There are times it sees red and charges like a bull, yet I'm still trying to breathe as I'm right inside the eye of the storm. Somehow I remember there is hope in the emptiest hole. There is hope when there's nowhere to go. There is hope.
So I love you, all the parts and musicians that you involved in this. So like the chorus that comes in, that's really cool. So it sounds like that was another time when you were able to bring in your chorus writing skills.
Yes. Yeah. And that one was easier. But I think there were probably like 30 of my friends that came in as the choir. And then Jason Mraz was able to come in and do like some backing vocals, which was a really cool turn of events that I got him to be on it. But I feel like this is like the anthem of anything that I've ever written. If I had an anthem, this would be it, I think.
Nice. Yeah. You have a lot of great connections, and I think that's so important as a musician. Is that is that something that's kind of just happened naturally from just being out there and creating?
Yeah, and with the choir stuff, I mean, this album will be different because I have the San Diego Women's Chorus, but I mean, I was a music therapist for so long, and music therapists can sing, and there are so many music therapists in San Diego.
Hmm.
There's probably like 90 music therapists. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. So, but you said it's something that you're not doing anymore.
Correct.
Yeah. So why did you move away from music therapy?
I wanted to start touring here and there more and just have a little bit more freedom to go if I needed to.
I gotcha.
And I was working with ASD, which is autism spectrum disorder, mainly. It was special needs kids, but it was mainly that, and they need consistency.
Mm, gotcha. So, yeah.
And the job I have now, they kind of allow me to go in and out, and the kids know kind of the game plan, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good deal. Yeah.
It is.
So, was it through music therapy that you like met the people through Girls Rock Camp, or?
How did I?
Yeah.
I think just through the music scene, probably.
Cool.
I don't even know how I first started. I think I just heard about Girls Rock Camp, and I was like, I want to be a part of this.
Yes.
Forever.
Were you part from the very first camp?
Yeah.
Nice. And that was 2 years ago. Yeah.
We've had three, right? This will be our third?
This will be a third year.
Is it?
I think so, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's the third year.
Yeah.
Just keep getting better.
Yeah. Were you on the board from the beginning, or is that a...
No, they asked me to be on the board probably like 2 years ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so what does Rock and Roll Camp for Girls mean to you?
Oh my gosh. It's like, I mean, empowering girls through music. it feels a little bit like music therapy in that way, is using music to achieve non-music goals, like to implement it for confidence and speaking up and making decisions and working together. It's like all these things, all these benefits, side benefits that the girls don't even realize they're getting just by playing music together. Mm. So yeah, I love it. I don't know what our workshops are going to be this year. We still have to kind of go over a lot of the program, but
yeah, you did some really cool. Was it just one last year? What did you?
Yeah, what did we do last year? Image and identity.
Yeah, that I didn't get to see it, but I think I saw the.
Yeah, image and identity, and then there was another one we did. But we're gonna gear it more, keep it creative this year. But what's crazy is we came up with the T-shirt, which we did for Ladies Rock Camp, which is enough, and we now know that campaign is big, the Enough campaign. Mm-hmm. But we actually came up with the idea like a month before any of that happened. And our idea was with the girls wearing the T-shirts enough, you know, the two ways of thinking of it, of like enough, we've had enough, and enough, I am enough, you know. So I think we're going to center a lot of the maybe discussions at camp around like, what does enough mean to you? And just kind of get dialogue going with the girls.
I like that. Yeah. So are the shirts for the summer also going to have enough on it?
Yep.
Cool. Very cool. Are there still spots left, you know?
I think there's some spots left. They'll definitely be filled by the time summer's coming around. But when is the camp? June?
I thought it was July.
Is it July? I'll tell you right now.
And are you going to be teaching at camp?
Uh-huh.
Guitar?
Yep.
Very cool.
It's July 23rd through the 28th.
Now excellent. We know. Nice. And it's going to be at that spot in...
Arts. A Reason to Survive in National City.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a really cool space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it for ladies' camp. Yeah. And yeah, how was your experience at the... Had you gone to another ladies' camp? So that was your first time.
Yeah, and a lot came up for me as a guitar instructor and as a band coach. I was like, what if I'm not good enough? Mm-hmm. Like the enough thing came mm-hmm. back to bite
oh,
me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thinking like, what if I don't teach them the right things? What if I don't challenge them? But it all fell into place. And
sure.
It's just incredible mm-hmm. to watch those women just take the reins on this thing that they've never done. There was a woman there that was 50 and she did 50 things that scared her this year. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those things. Was she in your band?
No, she was she a bass player?
Drummer.
No, she wasn't in that band. Yeah, but I remember her talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, they all had such cool stories.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it's amazing how it all came together. I remember when Mel was first telling me about the schedule, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to have faith that it's going to work. It just seemed so fast. So they came in Friday night and played Sunday afternoon.
And some of them never have, like, touched that instrument in their lives.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's amazing that if you have that pressure on you, something's going to come out.
It's true. It's the way it's designed.
Right? Yeah. Like you were talking about how it's neat that we have this home studio here, but at the same time, it's like, it's always here. It's like when you have a scheduled time to go to a studio, you're like, it needs to happen in these hours. Yeah.
So you're like, this could happen at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or never. Yes.
Yeah. So, so if anyone wants to find out more about your music or, you know, I know you have a really cool blog online too.
Yes. The Bipolar Biweekly blog, mm-hmm. which I have got to write one. Mm-hmm. It's mainly centered around what I'm dealing with in mental illness, but there's other things that I'll put in there, just thoughts and stuff like that. But it's twice a month
cool.
that I do it. But it's all at veronicamay.com, MAY.
Cool.
And if you want like YouTube/Veronica May, SoundCloud/Veronica May,
easy to find. It's a good name.
Yeah.
I saw you've been featured on a few of the local press scenes recently.
Yeah, I got some covers in January, kind of releasing. I think it was on the advent of releasing that single, City Beat, San Diego Union Tribune, and Uptown News, I think, were the three.
Cool. So did you, were you, like, sending out press releases?
Yeah.
You're good at working it.
I don't know. Sometimes, like you said, I mean, there are moments where I'm like, where I just need a little bit of a break. And I'm in one of those places and just kind of trying to honor it and be creating still and, you know, just letting myself wade in the water for a moment, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Well, thanks, Veronica.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming by the studio.
Of course.
So thank you for listening to episode number 8 of the Sunshine Sound Podcast. If you'd like to check out older episodes and learn more about Sunshine Sound Center, you can check us out at sunshinesoundcenter.org. If you have any questions for me, want to suggest any guests or anything, you can contact me at Christine with a C at sunshinesoundcenter.org. I also encourage you to give us a rating on iTunes or a review, really to support the musicians who take the time to talk with me. And the more we can do to promote this podcast, really the more that we are promoting the local music scene and all the stuff that people here are working on. You can also find us on Instagram, on Facebook. We got a Twitter you don't update too often. But check us out. I'd love to stay in touch. So I hope you have a beautiful day, and I will talk to you again soon.